And Kathy Dawes now with Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director Robin Cole, and all sorts of things to talk about with her. Again, 537-1350 if you have questions or comments. And I know that September is a very special month, and you'll tell us why.
It is. September is Recovery Month. And all of the counties in Pawnee Mental Health's service area and some of the communities in our service area will be proclaiming September as Recovery Month. This year's theme is Join the Voices of Recovery, Strengthen Families and Communities. And I think it's significant that they chose to emphasize both families and communities for this year's Recovery Month theme, because issues of mental illness and substance use disorders aren't just particular to the individual. They affect the family, and they do affect our community. And so I'm pleased that they're emphasizing that in this year's theme. According to a 2015 national survey on drug use and health, 43.5 million people age 18 or older had a mental illness in 2015. 20.8 million people age 12 or older had a substance use disorder. Now, I find that alarming that this National Survey on Drug Use and Health has recognized that they need to start surveying children as early as age 12 to gather substance use data.
Mayor Ushiretti made note of that during, I believe, the law board meeting that I attended earlier this week, that there's a lot more preteens that are starting to get into that.
It ought to be a real wake-up call for us. I think that a lot of us have no idea at what early ages our youth are beginning to experiment with substance use, whether it is alcohol or whether it is other drugs. And we really do need to wake up to this and begin addressing the issue of preventing substance use. That 2015 National Survey on Drug Use and Health also identified that there are 8.1 million adults age 18 or older who have both a mental illness and a substance use disorder. And, you know, people probably say, well, why does this matter to me? How does this tie into the idea of recovery? And I think that the important thing for us to all realize is that prevention does work. Efforts that we put into trying to prevent the development of substance use disorders or mental illnesses can work. Treatment is effective, and people can and do recover. In fact, there's research that shows that between 65 to 80% of people who are diagnosed with a mental illness or a substance use disorder will improve as long as that mental illness or substance use disorder is appropriately diagnosed, as long as the treatment that is necessary for that disorder is given, and as long as there's ongoing monitoring and follow-up in the treatment of that mental illness or substance use disorder. Now, I suppose when you look at a statistic that says that 65 to 80% of people will recover, that does suggest then that between 35 and 20% of people won't. And that there are some individuals who will struggle with a mental illness or a substance use disorder on a chronic kind of a basis. But the reality is that we don't know who is going to experience that recovery and who is not. And so it really is necessary for us to approach this from the perspective that it's possible for everyone to recover from mental illness or substance use disorders.
Well, all good information, too, and I know we continue to hear that it's more of a problem, or it's more aware of it. I'm not sure which, but definitely it's good to get updated on that, and a good month to kind of stop and think about recovery and ways to work through some of those things.
Well, I think sometimes people wonder, you know, why does this matter to me? Why do I really care about this? Especially, you know, if it's an individual who isn't personally affected by mental illness, or they're not personally affected by substance use problems, or if they don't have a family member who's personally affected by it. Why does it matter to me as an individual? Why is it, for example, also a community problem? Why is it a county problem? Why does the city put money into funding mental illness or substance use treatment? Why does the county put money into funding substance use or mental illness treatment? And there are reasons for that. And the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City did a study in 2012 where they looked at the cost burden of untreated serious mental illness in Kansas City. And that 2012 study calculated the cost to Kansas City of being $624 million annually. And as they looked at the costs of untreated mental illness and substance use disorders in Kansas City, they divided it into four different categories. They saw costs to local government, and of that $624 million, about 9% of that cost was being picked up by local government, about 9% was being picked up by federal government. About 44% of the $624 million annually was lost income to individuals and their families who then had other medical, other social welfare kinds of problems. And employers picked up that cost at about 36% of the total. And so it is much more even than an individual kind of a problem or a family problem or a government problem. It also affects private employers. And it's because we are all interacting with each other. We're all working together. We're employing individuals who might struggle with mental illness or substance use disorders. And particularly for employers, there's a number of different both hidden and maybe not so hidden costs that come with untreated mental illness or substance use disorders. And this study that was conducted in Kansas City identified kind of 10 areas of cost, including increased absenteeism, lower productivity, and they called that presenteeism, so people who are at work but who just aren't able to be as effective as they normally would be because they're struggling with an issue related to their mental health or because they're struggling with an issue related to substance use, higher unemployment rates, medical expenses that are tied to a lack of treatment, more extensive inpatient and outpatient care that occurs when people don't receive treatment when they need it but delay receiving treatment. There was criminal activity that they were able to recognize or tie back in to the costs of untreated mental illness or substance use disorders, and just a number of other kinds of areas that we don't always look at being directly related to mental illness or substance use disorders, but they are. And probably one of the most serious issues is the issue of suicide. And this study that was done in Kansas City identified increased suicide rates tied to untreated mental illness and untreated substance use disorders. And for the last several years, Kansas data, taking a look at deaths throughout the state, have identified suicide as being the 10th leading cause of death in Kansas. And for individuals who have experienced loss of a loved one because of suicide, we know that there is a there's a personal grief that you can't even calculate what the impact of that is for an individual life. But, you know, if you look at that in terms of just our community and businesses, it's a significant loss, not only at a personal level, but in terms of just an impact on the community as a whole. So it, you know, for me, when I take a look at these kinds of reports and information, it illustrates very clearly that the issue of untreated mental illness and untreated substance use disorders is not a private or a personal issue. It is an issue of public concern. And it's an issue that we need to be talking about and addressing.
And your timing is so appropriate, too, I know. And not that these are all directly confirmed as suicides, but I know we've had 4 Fort Riley soldiers in a month that have passed. And I when I went to the law board meeting on Monday, they honored 2 officers for saving a juvenile, a girl who was on a branch of a tree and leapt with a cord around her neck. So it's sad. It's out there, right here in Manhattan, Kansas.
It's very sad, and I need to commend all those individuals who, you know, every day are working to try to assist individuals who have thoughts of suicide, or, you know, who feel hopeless, who feel helpless, who feel like things are never going to get better for them, that the way out of what they're experiencing is to not be here anymore. And I would just say that for those individuals, you need to realize that help is available, that there are people who care, there are people who want to help you get out of the situation that you're in. Sometimes when you are in a state of major depression, you can't always see the options that exist. And that's why it's so important to reach out and to talk to someone who can go over with you what the options for help are, and to know that recovery is possible, that how you feel today isn't necessarily how you're going to feel tomorrow. And that's the thing about feelings. Feelings change. And, you know, all I have to do is to look at my own life and realize I can feel one way in the morning and another way by the end of the day. But for individuals who are really caught up in some serious depression, sometimes there's a belief that those feelings aren't going to change and they can't see a way out. But certainly at Pawnee Mental Health, we have mental health professionals who are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And our purpose is to be available to do what we can to help individuals who are experiencing major mental health or substance use problems.
Let's go ahead and take a break, 9:44. I know we want to talk about some training, too, and on the same topic, in fact, and we'll get to that momentarily. I know Robin Cole with us today, Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director. Again, if you want to join in the conversation, we always welcome that, 537-1350, or toll-free, 866-776-1350.